Hello, good morning, evening, afternoon, whenever you're listening to this.
Good morning, evening, afternoon.
I don't know, just good whatever it is. We are Offbeat Tracks here with episode
122. That's the beauty of podcasts. You can listen whenever you want. We don't care what you're doing. We just care that you're
listening.
We're
not going to tell you when to do it because we're not your moms.
Nope, definitely not. Don't have kids. Don't want them. Hi, I'm Max. Thanks for tuning in. Today we're talking about a lady named Phyllis Nelson, who I'm betting you probably never heard of. I love Phyllis.
Probably not.
There's a lot of gushing that's going to come, but that's what I do here. Okay. That's why you listen.
I'm going to get weird later.
I just noticed a very interesting connection between Phyllis and our last artist from our previous episode, Ms. King.
Old lady names.
Yes. Well, besides that, so Phyllis was born in October of 1950 in Jacksonville, Florida. So according to some of my sources, some said Jacksonville, Florida. Some said she was born in Philadelphia. Either way, she again was a Philadelphia-based artist who was not actually from Philadelphia, much like Evelyn Champagne King.
Okay.
So there you go. So yeah, Phyllis, for more or less, we can think of her as a Philadelphia artist.
Yes.
She kind of was involved in that, the Philadelphia sound in the late 70s.
I love it.
Yeah. You know, the sound of Philadelphia. It was, there was a song, you know, the song TSOP?
Oh yeah.
By Mother, Father, Sister, Brother.
Yes. Not the, Philadelphia Freedom.
The Philadelphia Soul. It was a thing.
Yep.
The earliest credits I could find for Phyllis Nelson are for her being on a couple of singles by a group called Brown Sugar.
Oh, God, I bet that is good.
It is good stuff. Lay Some Lovin' on Me and The Game Is Over were the two songs that I found.
Game Over, Noobs.
Game Over, Noobs. Brown Sugar's in town. Brown Sugar's in town.
Oh, I'm writing that fanfic right now.
Yeah. So this is what Phyllis was doing in the later part of the 1970s before she kind of broke through. Here, I'll play a little bit of this. Lay Some Lovin' on Me. So that's the group Phyllis was in 1976, and I edited out the beginning of that where it's literally her having orgasms for the first 20 seconds of the song.
Oh my God, I'm going to listen to the shit out of that.
A lot of something going on there. And in 1979, she has a credit on a group called Philly Cream. But the song, did you see the song she was credited in? It's literally called Join the Army. I just love that.
I love disco so much.
Yes. She also, I could not find a copy of this, but apparently in 1980, there was a compilation that came out in Indonesia, released only in Indonesia.
Oh, good Lord.
And Phyllis Nelson has a solo credit song on it called 16. So that's something that exists.
Big,
it was not
big
on
in Indonesia.
Albums. Yes. The compilation, by the way, was entitled Black Sweet Vocal.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh boy, it was a different time, folks. It was a different time.
Black Sweet Vocal.
Black Sweet Vocal, Indonesian compilation, 1980.
Brown Sugar and
Look
Black
Look it up
Sweet
on Discogs,
Vocal.
It's there. That's right.
Back when they still had the black charts.
That's right. That's right. Popular black singles. You're right.
Different time.
Okay, so Phyllis's first proper single of her own is 1980's Don't Stop the Train. And this would actually end up appearing on her late. It's kind of weird. So Don't Stop the Train's her first single. It didn't show up. It wasn't actually on an album until the second album.
Yeah.
It's not on Move Closer, the first. Anyway, but we're talking about it first because chronologically it's first. This was like Phyllis Nelson's breakthrough song.
Disco as hell.
I was gonna say, I have a feeling you were probably into this.
Oh my god.
One.
I listened to it like four times in a row the first time I listened to it.
Yeah, this is like the dead end of disco.
It is, but I mean not
the dead end. Disco's definitely on the decline.
This was after it died, but it was like still.
But
everywhere.
People were still like, yeah, you know, like the Village people were still around.
The 1980 charts are very disco-y, even though they
Knack came out
because everyone I rant about that all the time. Bullshit.
Especially the 1980 dance charts.
Oh my
were
god.
Still very disco.
Yes, even like 81. Until you get to like 82, then it starts to change. But anyway, this is very disco, and I love just very disco. It's not even like...
Yeah, that's really all you can say about
it's
it.
So
it's
disco.
Just very disco.
It's a great little disco beat with like a big old voice on top of it. How you either like that or you don't. You know, if you're into trains, she doesn't want you to stop it. I don't really like anything with a train metaphor I don't like. It's very weird. That's a thing that I have. I don't like anybody talking about trains on songs. I think it's silly. But anyway, beautiful disco. Don't stop the train, don't let me go.
That was a number 20 hit for Phyllis, believe it or not, on the dance chart. Not on the pop chart. That there was no way that was happening on the pop chart.
don't want to cut out Juice Newton.
Right.
Was 82, I think.
So we're going to move these next couple songs did end up on the Move Closer LP, but were released as singles before the album actually came out, her debut album. So Take Me Nowhere was from the first one from 1983. This one is cool because it like starts as this slow jam, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, dun, 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 and then like you're in this disco song.
Yeah.
I mean, very MacArthur Park-esque.
It is that bass from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... I don't know. It makes the whole song to me. Like, the rest of the song would be so bleh to me, except for that. That just makes me love it, and I got super stoked on this one. It's so good.
Stop, Don't Do This to Me was the other one that was released as a single that year. And this one, like, imagining this coming out as a single in 1983 or 4, whenever it was actually out.
84, yeah.
Very, very difficult to think about.
It does not sound very 84. No, it is like, so dated.
She had no chance with this one. Way too dated at this time.
Yeah, like, I ended up looking.
Still a cute song, like, don't get me wrong, but too dated.
It doesn't work for 84.
The album Move Closer, her debut album, actually comes out in April of 1984 and is led off by the title track Move Closer, which totally faceplants in the US. So as record companies did sometime, they tried it in the UK. BBC Radio starts playing this and holy crap, it took off like a firecracker.
Apparently it was in a deodorant commercial.
Oh, see, there you go.
Yeah, I think that's it, what
but it got prompt BBC it. Radio started playing it, which was the rise of its popularity. But yeah, this thing took off. And ends up being a number one single in the UK.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little romantic slow jam, but
yeah, and
great bass.
Worth noting, by the way, it did not actually become a hit in the UK until like the next year. So this the album comes out like April 84. It took to like February of 85 for BBC Radio to start playing it. So Phyllis has already moved on to like other stuff in the US by then, as we'll see. But Move Closer, number one hit in the UK.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's a fine slow jam. Just
it's sexy. It's got good bass. I've heard much worse slow jams.
Everything I want out of a slow jam from 1984. Yes.
Smooching and swaying. Tender love song. Softly.
And I just had to talk about this other album cut from Move Closer, Somewhere in the City. This is so cute. This is like a I'm a business person and it's the early 80s and I'm zipping through the city and this is my goofy little synthy new wave.
It reminds me of like a later synth pop version of Joe Jackson Steppin' Out. Like it's kind of like got that little high smooth thing.
And but it's just like to me, like if you took this just as an instrumental, this would be like in elementary school if it was like here are the people going to work in the city. Like, this is the music that would be over it. Like, it's just perfect for that.
That
it's
is
perfect.
A good way of saying it, yeah.
Thank you.
I know you're very excited to talk about this.
Me? No. Why would I be? So I didn't write way too many notes.
So Phyllis has this single in 1985, kind of like between her two albums, basically, called I Don't Know. And I believe this was only...
Bitch, I don't either.
I believe this was only released in France because it is a duet with the French actor Alain Delon. And might I point out, this is the second time Alain Delon has come up on this show, which is amazing. My girlfriend, by the way, loves Alain Delon.
What?
She actually has a letter that she has drafted out to him that she's planning to mail him to ask him for a signed headshot.
I'm surprised he's not dead yet, so she better hurry that up.
Oh, he is living.
He's one of those people who's just the unhealthiest person in the world who's just going to smoke and drink to excess forever.
You've literally described every French person
and
over 50.
And live to 110. Yep. It's amazing how they do that.
It's just because they're French. That's how they do it. So this is from a movie, an Alain Delon film. He also stars in the film, and it's called Parole de Flic, which means cop's honor. Oh God! Because fleek—I guess fleek is the word for cop. I learned that one. We've both been. I've taken French since sixth grade, and I think you have as well, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. I never knew the word fleek, but that's like their word for a cop. And so this was like apparently like a comeback for Alain Delon. Like I guess he like hadn't been cool for some, because he's like one of these dudes. He was like Mr. Suave from I think the 50s and 60s. You know, yeah. Just like Mr. Lady Killer. Like, oh yes, I'm going to kill all the ladies with my dashing good looks and my cigarette holder, probably.
And then he like took some time off and like did dumb business ventures, and now he's like creeping back in. And
yep. And so they wrote this action film for him that was like going to be his big like return to I'm Mr. Hunky sort of old dude now making action movies.
Like I still kind of would.
And they pull this lady, Phyllis Nelson, who had this big hit that year in the UK. So it's not totally out of line, right? Like she had a number one single in the UK. So it makes sense that they'd be like, hey, she's popular. Grab her and let's write
like
a duet.
That perfect moment of you got picked because of this.
Yes. By the way, I've done a terrible thing by not bringing this up yet, but it's important to understand for the context of Phyllis Nelson. She was a songwriter. She was writing most of these songs. So this is not like some lady who just had a good voice and was coming in the studio and singing other people's. No. Phyllis Nelson was writing these songs.
Yeah.
So very, very, very important to note. And I've done a terrible thing by not mentioning that until now.
That is very true. She did write her own stuff, which is cool.
So it makes perfect sense to me that somebody would go, okay, we need someone to duet with Alain Delon, and so they pull her.
And be super creeped out like on a stage performing with him while he just creeps closer and closer to you.
Yes.
Didn't you, like, fear for her life
so
a little bit?
So as you'll see, yeah, there is a video of them performing the song live, and it's just, it's a sight. It's a sight. And that's all I'm going to say
anyway,
about it.
Alain Delon is pretty cool if you ever want to read about him. He's, you know, and I say this every time we bring him up because it's a whole thing with, he just keeps coming up.
I don't know.
'Cause it's true, the sunshine has to follow the rain.
Even so,
in the world we live, you learn to take a chance at romance. I don't know if love will last forever. All I want's for us to be together.
Now.
So now we jump to the next year, 1986. And Phyllis's music from her second album, starting with the title track "I Like You," which was
I like you too,
which was the first Phyllis Nelson song I ever heard. When I was working at the stereo repair shop in high school, one of the technicians gave me this lovely 2-CD compilation that was called like "High Energy: The Dance Sound of the 80s," and this track always stuck with me. It was one of my faves. It's just so good for so many reasons. First of all, the production on it is like basically perfect. This is Phyllis's biggest hit in the US, by the way.
Whoa,
number 61 on the US chart, a number one dance hit, which should surprise no one. And it also charted in the UK and on the US R&B chart, but not that well. So yeah, the production's perfect, but I'm going to go on and bring up the fact that toward the end of the song, you know, she's going through and saying, you know, I like you a lot. And like, it's just a very sweet song. But toward the end of the song, she does say, you can be a girl, you can be a guy, I don't need a reason why, I just like you.
Ooh.
And I that always raised my eyebrow because I'm just like, was Phyllis, like, is Phyllis Nelson kind of a queer icon? Because I feel like Phyllis Nelson might kind of have been a queer icon.
I mean, she's big in the disco and big in the clubs. I'm sure she was.
Like, I'm just saying, like, I know
she knows her market.
I know that we, like, put a lot of, like, you know, the gay icon stamp on, like, a lot of people who just had dance hits in this era.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know, like, having a song in 1986 where you're saying you can be a girl, you can be a guy, I don't care. It's like, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Like, that to me, like, you've earned the stamp of gay icon at that point.
I wonder if she ever was considered a gay icon.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if that was a thing that she strived for or owned or whatever, but clearly, like, she was down, and so
yeah,
I'm
that's pretty cool.
I'm willing as a queer person to sign off on that Phyllis Nelson is a gay icon.
Okay.
And I mean, just beyond that, like, the song rules, dude. The song rules.
Yeah, she's not so much clinging to disco anymore. She's going the higher end.
Yes, yes. Like, she's actually, like, making modern sounding dance music now.
It's very different than the, like, it's fun, like, the first, but it's
one of my favorite tropes of this era goes on in this video too, where she's, like, playing a piano, and there is no piano anywhere to be found in this song.
Oh, hell yeah.
But she's like, she just, it's like she's sitting singing the song to, like, a small child at the piano. And it does not make any sense.
Speaking of that trope, we'll get to that one later.
Okay.
I got a thing.
Another fantastic single from this record, Chemical Reaction, released in either France or the UK, I don't remember, as Explosive Combination, just given a different title on the single release, but it is the same song, if you ever see that. But this one, the melody of this one, I think, stuck with me more than any of the others when I was, you know, listening to all these songs, like, for the next 2 weeks, I walked around just, Explosive Combination.
Like, to me, this is not
just some really good freestyle, man.
This, I mean, it's good. I don't like this. Like, it's too busy almost for me. And I know I don't say that too much, but it's almost too busy. I think it could be less busy and be good. Just
I think that's a fair
bit,
criticism.
Just a tad bit less busy. It's like, it's distracting to me. I can't quite get into it. But I mean, it's a good song. I'm going to dance. I'm not going to say no.
And then came You. Yes. An album cut. This was not a single release. We're just going to mention a couple of these album cuts that we liked here. But Then Came You. I picked this one strictly for the guitar solo. I think the guitar solo rules.
Also, I think the guitar solo rules because there's no guitar in the song. Other than that, it's one of my favorite things in 80s
music. Just pops on in.
Like, I was sitting there listening to this song the whole time, and I was like thinking, this feels like a song that's going to have an unnecessary guitar solo. Like,
and
it
bam,
had that rockish
was.
Vibe without any rock to it. And then suddenly I was like, oh my God, girl, I can predict these now. And then, like, yeah. So
and Phyllis did not let you down.
No, I mean, it's fine, but I'd love an unnecessary guitar solo.
And finally,
girl.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear what you had to say about this.
I did not know that this existed, by the way.
I did not either. This is the very last song on Phyllis Nelson's second album, I Like You, and it's called The Land of Make-Believe.
Uh-huh. Which is a cover.
And it honestly is just the sweetest thing to me to imagine this as, like, Phyllis Nelson's last song, even though it's obviously it's not technically, like, her last song. But it
she
was
never sing again.
It was the last song on her last proper album. So,
and it's for someone who's being bigger in the UK, might as well just cover Buck's Fizz.
Right.
And I love Bucks Fizz. We all know this.
Yeah, we talked about Bucks Fizz back in our Eurovision episode. I can't remember. What was their winning?
Making Your Mind Up.
Yes, 1980, 81. Yeah. So yeah, this is a Bucks Fizz cover, and it is delightful.
Yeah, I love this song from Bucks Fizz, and I like it from Phyllis Nelson. It's no Bucks Fizz, sorry, Philly Nelly, but it's...
She does a great job with the song.
No, it's fine. It's totally good. I didn't hate it. But I was in there. I saw that like on the list, and I was like, okay, I'm like, it can't be that random. Like, that's
surprise,
definitely not happening. And then it started, and I was like, I squealed. I ran around my house because I just love the song so much.
That is very cute.
I get an opportunity to talk about Bucks Fizz again. Like, is this heaven? Christmas miracle.
No, it's Phyllis Nelson's 1986 album, I Like You.
So you do like the song, isn't it?
Yeah. It's adorable. When did Bucks Fizz's version come out?
I'd say like 83 or 84.
Okay, so it was after their Eurovision.
Yeah. Okay. They were already Eurovision stars.
Okay, cool. it's actually kind of interesting to me that they didn't choose to release this as a single even just in the UK. I think it would have worked.
Oh, I think it would have too.
I really do like her version of it.
Such a cute song.
And I love more excellent guitar work on this one too.
Yeah.
So I say Phyllis is like, I like to think of that as like her last song, because Phyllis sadly did pass away in 1998 of breast cancer at only 48 years old.
Sad.
Pretty young. And so I just sort of like to think of that as like the little ribbon on her career, like the last notes that she left us with, you know. Her son Mark did have a career of his own, though. I wanted to note that. Her son Mark Nelson was in Boys to Men before they got famous. Who knew?
Yeah, but he got impatient waiting for the record deal to go. And he was like, bitch, I gotta go.
Apparently he was like, I'm Mark Nelson and I got shit to do, and he left Boys to Men, and that did not work out for him. He did have a small R&B chart hit in 1991 with the cover of Marvin Gaye's I Want You. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Released as Mark Nelson. But then he joined the group As Yet. Remember As
Yes,
Yet?
Yes, unfortunately.
Who in like, the, you know, this like the totally stereotypical mid-90s R&B group.
Mm-hmm.
Last Night was their big hit, and then they also had a big hit with covering Chicago's Hard to Say I'm Sorry.
Yep.
That Peter Cetera did with them for some
Peter reason. Peter Cetera's a weird dude.
To say the least. Yeah, so that's Phyllis's son, Mark.
Oh, he had a hit in 99, too. A solo hit that, like, I actually don't remember. It was, like, number 20 in the Hot 100.
Really?
Yeah, what was it
called? I don't remember that at all.
I saw it. I don't remember it either, because I was like, huh? But it was an R&B hit that crossed over. Enough to be like number 20 something.
Interesting. Okay, well, I don't remember that one. I remember the Marvin Gaye cover from 91, and I definitely remember those stupid As Yet songs, because like, that just like everything that is terrible about everything that is absolutely terrible about 90s R&B.
15 minutes?
15 minutes?
Oh, hold on.
I don't remember that song at all. But I will take your word for it. So that's Phyllis's son, if you know that song. So, that's Phyllis Nelson, the two album disco /
number 27 Billboard Hot 100.
Wow.
15 minutes in 1999. I don't remember it at all.
Don't remember that at all. So that's Phyllis Nelson, the two album disco / dance pop gay icon, Phyllis Nelson.
We hope Alan Delon did not hurt you.
Yes.
As much as it looked like.
I bet Alan Delon was a super nice dude.
I know, but
dude.
It was super creepy.
I bet
creepy.
He loved her.
Well, it was.
I bet he loved her. I bet they were buds.
So creepy.
Yes. It's adorable. And Phyllis, thanks for the music you gave us.
Oh, yeah.
You were a very cool person, and I Like You is the jam. It is the high energy jam, and I'm here for
it. It's very good. If you want to listen to all of our old episodes, we're on the internet with a website, talking like it's 1998. it is offbeattrackscast.com.
Yes, and if you'd like to send us any thoughts, please do so on Twitter at offbeattracks.
Yes, and we will be back
soon with another episode.
Stuff.
With stuff.
That will make you listen to.
So until then, I am Max.
I'm Danielle.
See ya.